coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Most people, like you, can't stand the truth. What did Jack Nicholson say to Tom Cruise? Son, you can't stand the truth. You can't take the truth. So that's what I'm saying to her.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash. And today we are talking about Redemption Island. Redemption Island is a season, I think it's a bad rap. It was voted the second worst season by Rob Has a Podcast listeners in 2020, and I think saying it's worse than seasons like Thailand and Nicaragua is rather unfair. I mean, say what you want about the cast, how you feel about Rob's win, how annoying Philip is, but one thing you can't say it isn't is unmemorable. Redemption Island has a lot of highs to go with the lows of the season, and in my opinion, it balances out to being pretty decent. Middle of the road when it comes to Survivor seasons, a perfectly serviceable season. If you don't like seeing a single person play the game on easy mode, though, you will not like it, however, but for me, personally, I enjoy watching the Rob cult form. It's fascinating stuff, but if you don't agree with me, please let me know what you think of the season. I enjoy the discourse that goes into these things. It's my favorite part about analyzing my hyperfixations, and I love interacting with my audience as long as it's respectful and chill. That's the vibe I really want. And never take me too seriously, please. At the end of the day, I'm just some dork who smokes and watches Survivor after work. You're allowed to disagree with me. There's a reason I call my channel Trash Opinions. Most people tend to disagree with my takes, but I still enjoy having those unpopular opinions. I appreciate every single person who watches my videos. Even if it was just one person, I would still be making them. But let's get into Redemption Island.
You are a crazy person.
Excuse me.
I'm going to interrupt you, Philip.
Excuse me.
I'm going to say what I want to say when I want to say it. I'm sorry.
Francesca Hoagie.
Francesca.
I like Francesca.
Francesca. My mouth is dry and I've been getting treatment for it, so.
I like Franny a lot. The way she talks about other people is so hilarious, and you could tell she was incredibly smart and witty. Sadly, she was too real of a bitch to be on a tribe with Rob and Philip. They weren't fucking around with a smart, free-thinking woman. She would not have blindly followed Rob the way Andrea, Ashley, and Natalie did. So no matter what, she's an early boot, and it sucks. If she ever lasts a decent amount of time, she's bound to be an amazing character, but she was just never meant to get that chance.
Why don't you let me do that?
I don't mind digging.
No, it's not about that. It's about the way you're doing it. If you're going to do it, you apply a little weight like that.
Okay. All right, knock yourself out.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I mean, probably the most annoying person so far is Philip.
Weirdly enough, her and Tina Wesson are the only first boots to return, and why Franny got to return in the first place still baffles me to this day. She's such a fun character on this season and the most iconic first boot ever, though. She's going to get entertaining.
These fools that I'm dealing with, they ain't too bright.
And poor old Ralph.
That dude might be the dumbest player to ever play. He might be just the dumbest person on the face of the earth. Besides being the dumbest player to play Survivor.
Russell Hans.
Oh my God, it's Russell.
Damn, it's weird seeing Russell cry, and it's weird feeling bad for him.
Russell, is it sadness that you're out of the game? Is it embarrassment at finally losing?
No. I respect this game too much to go out this way.
Losing Russell this season is like losing a leg. He's such a huge character, and I wish he was able to at least make the merge with some numbers on his side, but he was doomed to be an early boot. Zapatera threw the challenge to get rid of him.
I'm dealing with a bunch of bitches.
He was still his same entertaining self. I liked his alliance with Stephanie a lot more than I did with Natalie. I think they would have made magic together. But oh well, Zapatero has to suck. So Russell goes to Redemption Island where the streak of Matt Elrod takes him down. Start of a future of getting voted out first. Shame. I would love to see him on a Legend season, but you could just tell he would be the consensus first boot. Russell's still Russell here, so I'll put him in entertaining.
My immunity, idol, antennae have been on alert since I hit the beach. Everything that stood out in our camp, you know, I wanted to look around and poke around. I knew that in order for us to find it, we had to find landmarks. You know, our landmarks were going to be our map.
Christina Kell. Christina Kell is fun at first. She's super sneaky in the beginning, and her finding the immunity idol without a clue is some badassery no one talks about from Christina. She's kind of underrated, but then once Franny's gone, she's less of a character. She wastes her idol on the first Matt Elrod boot, and then she's booted and victim of Matt Elrod's Redemption Island streak, and it's a nothing feeling when she's gone. She's better than most in this tier, but I think I need to put her in meh.
I miss Christina!
You're implying there are no sub-alliances within this group.
I think if there's any, it's in pairs. I mean, you obviously have Mike and Steve, who have been tight from the beginning. Then I think Julie has become comfortable with Steve. And then you have Sarita and Ralph. They seem to be together. I don't know where that leaves Dave, but seems to be twos. So with me and Stephanie here, which could be a big four, if I was in that six, I would be jumping on one of us.
Krista Klump. Krista Klump is the not interesting part of the Krista-Stephanie duo. She's so amazingly unremarkable. Slightly strategic, but I don't know how much of it came from Stephanie. Another nothing checkmark on the road to Matt Elrod getting back to the merge. Meh.
Well, what do you think about the tribe?
I don't know if we're on the winning side, to tell you from the looks of it. The other team, I'm telling you, they look more physical, but...
Russell and I were looking for the tree mount, and he came up to me, and I got all nervous because I felt like, oh, prom day.
Who did I bring the first time? What was her name?
Natalie.
Who did I bring the second time?
Harvey.
But your speech, Russell, about how you changed,
no,
it was just,
no,
it was so moving to me. It was. I believed
Listen.
You. I believed you. You are a changed man.
You and me and you, when we get to the merge, it will be over.
Done.
That's all we gotta do is get to the
Done.
Merge.
Russell's so sneaky. He was like, let's form an alliance, which is great, because he's made it to the top three every time he played. So, of course I said yes.
Stephanie Valencia. I really like Stephanie Valencia. I think she's really underrated. I like how she immediately knows it's good to align yourself with the biggest power goat in Survivor history in Russell. She had potential to be a big character. She's very outspoken and fun. I wish she wasn't eliminated as part of them getting rid of Russell's alliance immediately. I love how she tells her tribe to shut up whenever they talk to her during a challenge. She's sassy and isn't afraid to speak her mind, much to her detriment. But I really, really wish she returned for Cambodia. I assume nobody wanted to support the Redemption Island cast for returnees, since Nat 10 didn't make it either. Despite her attitude towards the majority, she's a very smart and strategic player, but I have no idea how far she makes it on Cambodia, maybe where Monica or PG went out. Still, Stephanie is such an underrated character, and I was bummed to see her go and never return. I would love to see her on, like, an early boot season. She for sure belongs in entertaining. Sarita White. On a season full of who characters, Sarita has to be the most who. at least Krista Klump is memorable for having a goofy name and an alliance. Sarita is literally just fodder and supposedly close to Ralph in weekend challenges. Meh. David Murphy. Nothing character. Did not remember who he was before the rewatch. Probably won't remember him after. For some reason, I could see him having a niche group of people who are fans of him for some reason. He gets mad when they want to boot Stephanie over Sarita, and he becomes the only one to vote with Stephanie on that vote to prove a point, I guess. He tries to do an Eric Cardona at Final Tribal Council, but it isn't nearly as impactful or memorable, as Rob was already winning the game.
And now for something completely different. I'm not going to ask you guys any questions. I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to them. There's really only one logical decision here. Well, one person doesn't deserve it, so we can cut him off. The other one thanked somebody for doing it all. Who'd she thank? The guy sitting in the middle. He did everything. And most importantly, he managed to blindside Matt. And in the process of doing that, he sent a message to his tribe that if any of you show any signs not being loyal, you're going to go home. He controlled all of you. He controlled your minds. He controlled what you did. He controlled your thoughts. You all bought it. And one by one by one, all of you were blindsided. A little ruthless, but brilliant. When we started this game, two people came in. One of them claimed to be the best to ever play the game. He walked out on day 8. There's a guy sitting over there that just played the best strategic game this game has ever seen. And it's pretty damn easy to tell you who deserves to get your vote tonight.
No, Sherlock.
And then I got to the reunion. That's who he is, I said to myself.
And how is the relationship going now?
Yeah, it's going very well. Things are going pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Wait a second. How well is it going?
It's going very well.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, very well as in, gee, I'd like to maybe really make this official?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the good idea right now. You knew I was Carolina, you are the most amazing woman that I've ever met, and you, you challenge me.
Shut it down right now. Shut it down.
You drive me nuts, but at the end of the day, you've made me happier than I could ever ask to be. So will you marry me, please?
Shut the flipping front door. Survivor loves blindsiding me. Yes, yes, oh my God, yes. Whoa. Oh God.
His proposal to Carolina Eastwood is one of the cringiest things to ever happen on the show. I almost forgot this ever happened, and I was happier then. He's going in meth.
Philip is going to have to hang out in his cute little underwear from now on. I think he'll ever find us.
Julie Wolf. I'm so ready to just automatically put Julie in meh, but I actually have a very negative opinion of Julie, mainly stemming from her Final Tribal Council question directed at Philip.
Do you think that your parents would be proud of the way that you played the game? Because if you were my daughter, the answer would be no. I would be very sad to see my daughter be a servant to anybody the way you were a servant to Rob. You are the father of a 16-year-old son.
I'm very proud of it.
And I hope that you ask yourself, would your son be proud of the way that you played the game?
My son will be very proud of the way I played the game. As you often said, Philip, you're the hardest working man on your tribe. It's only now that you're sitting on the jury that you see something else.
I'm not going to take your work ethic away from you.
The hell with you.
I'm not going to take your work ethic away.
The hell with you.
Okay, the hell with me.
Listen, I know Philip is a dick, but that was so uncalled for to bring up his kids for no real reason. Her burying Philip's trunks was also just a shitty move. She's less entertaining Corinne, but just as mean, and it sucks. She's a nothing character for the entire season, and then at the end it goes, haha, you thought I was boring, but I actually fucking suck. She's not shitty enough throughout her run for me to put her in annoying, but she sure saved everything for the very end. Bottom of meh.
There's been a big debate brewing about living together. It culminated with the rice. And you threw an idea out that you felt was reasonable. Steve said, I don't know, let's figure it out, let's talk about it. And then as the argument about the rice continued, Steve made a comment that said, I don't like it, you're crazy. At that point, you equated that with, you're calling me the N-word, and now we have a whole new world we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now I'm caught up. Two people from different worlds had an argument. You took it one way. Nobody can question the way you took it. And it's based on your experiences and those of people before you. Nobody knows Steve's intentions other than Steve right now, because nobody here really knows Steve. We don't have any background on Steve. It's quite possible both of you are telling the truth, that that felt very much like the N-word, and he absolutely didn't mean it that way. Is that a fair assessment?
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steve Wright. His tribe is on the bottom, it's mid-Pagan, but man, Steve's gotta have some cheeseburgers. Fuck immunity. Steve is alright. He comes off as a leader figure for his tribe, and he's part of that core alliance. Some people call Steve underrated, but I don't see it. He's just okay. He has moments, but he's mostly just there. He's for sure memorable enough to keep him out of meh. He's not a wet fart like a lot of Zapatera is. He's just nowhere near a great character. I felt really bad when he was being implied to be racist by Philip for something that was, at the end of the day, a comment I'm almost certain he didn't mean that triggered Philip's history with racism with. I did chuckle every time he said crazy afterwards in a confessional, though, I admit, even though I felt really guilty about it.
Crazy, crazy Phil being crazy Phil.
He's a little crazy. It's, crazy.
He's crazy. Not the N-word crazy, he's just crazy.
I guess he could go into mildly entertaining.
They will call me a redneck. One crazy, stupid bastard. We ain't never had a dumbass to win the game, have we? Maybe it's my turn.
Ralph Kaiser. Ralph may be the most illiterate person to ever play Survivor. Also maybe the hairiest. I don't mean to shit on a deceased man's legacy, but man, this is probably the most dodo of dodo edits I've ever seen.
Don't do this.
I faked you.
He faked me.
The fact that he stumbles into finding the idol was amazing, though.
Hey, man, I found the community idol. Hot doggy. I was picking up rocks. Oh, there's four people. I was picking up a few rocks, and I just happened to look in that stunt, and I said, well, what's that rock doing in there? And I pulled it back, and I laid down.
But I think any idiot would have found that one, though. Why would a rock be in a tree? Ralph is hilariously doofy. He's like Bubba from Vanuatu, but with the redneck turned all the way up to 11. Also, why in the hell did he vote for Philip to win at the end? Oh, I'm sorry. File.
Hey, Philip.
I don't know if he's a great character because I don't really like him as a character that much. I just think he's kind of an overconfident doofus without much to him. Regardless of my apathy to him as a character, rest in peace, big guy. But I'm putting you in mildly entertaining.
Grant, when you watch this, you're going to realize I never wanted to do it this way, bud. And although I'd like to, you know, think of you as a friend, I didn't come to this game to make friends. I came to this game to win. So even though it does break my heart, bud, I gotta vote your ass off tonight.
Grant Mattis. Grant is like a big hunk of meat with a face drawn on it wearing a Zach De La Roca wig. Zero personality. Nothing to him. Barely talks. Gets no content. The Geico caveman goes into meh.
My faith is everything. My entire life revolves around it. I pray every day as I strive to become more like my savior.
What is he doing? Matt shaking the opposition's hand after we lost the challenge is despicable. When we just got our asses kicked, not once, but twice, back to back, I'm not going over to the other team and giving them hugs and kisses.
Matt Elrod. Ah, Matt Elrod, the man who went 1-2 on tribal councils. The fact that Matt Elrod went through all this shit on Redemption Island just to be booted out immediately and ultimately coming up short against Andrea.
Andrea.
Good.
She doesn't have Andrea.
Was hilariously tragic. Apparently it's what God wanted for him.
I told you to stay here as long as you wanted me to, and I guess you wanted me to come back and... So here I am. I trust you. This is your will. You using my stupidity for your glory. So, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And blessed be your name.
He's just this perfect little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, angelic Christian boy, and if you're into that sort of thing, he gives you a heroic, faith-fueled adventure through Redemption Island battle after battle. He's the golden boy to start the trend of golden boys. It has admittedly been an empty field, but it will be filled with tons of lawful good paladin mains soon enough. Jeff Probst said about him,
Matt is now heading to Redemption Island, where at least one of you will have to face him in a duel, and I have a feeling forgiveness not going to be on his mind.
First of all, Jeff, forgiveness is a whole Christian thing, so he probably will have it on his mind. Second of all, it's 6-5. The next boot will be a Zapatera, and none of them voted for Matt. So, Jeff, what are you talking about, dude? I will say, Matt Elrod telling Rob, you know, I was thinking of flipping and I had this whole plan, but I decided not to, is a hilariously terrible move, and he deserved to get booted right after coming back for that. Rob even seems so annoyed when he shakes Matt's hand, but you can see him holding back a, you stupid son of a bitch, I can't believe you. Just look at Rob's face. Then boo-hoo, he loses to
Andrea.
At the end, saving him from being voted out a third time. I have zero connection to Matt Elrod, but he's a super good-looking guy, is great at challenges, and has an inspirational attitude, and was on fucking Riverdale for some reason? Huh. That's actually kind of cool. He apparently goes by Wyatt Nash now. Matt Elrod isn't a good enough stage name? Really? I think it's kind of a baller and cool sounding name, but whatever. Anyway, Golden Boy.
I was in the Marine Corps, spent 2 deployments, went to Iraq twice. I think I'm going to win just because of my background. I think I've been trained for something like this.
Mike Chisel? I don't know. Ah, the Iraq War. Such a universally supported and uncontroversial war. Mike is a dud in my eyes. He reminds me of a Ken Stafford where his entire character is based around his mystique as an American hero, and I just kinda don't care. I don't even think he's a golden boy since he doesn't really get a heroic edit until he loses at Redemption Island. He's just kinda meh.
Matt is really cute, like good to look at, but you know, we're close, and I think that we have a little bit of loyalty going on.
Well, you should have been a little more decisive because you came in and you were so wishy-washy. You went up and had a heart-to-heart with Rob and was like, hey, Andrew and I were planning on blindsiding you, but we're not going to anymore. Throwing me under the bus, they're like, what's your deal with Matt? They're like, 1 minute you feel bad and 1 minute you don't feel bad. They're like, you can't make up your mind about him. And I was like, why would Matt trust me ever again?
Well, I'm sorry for ruining your Survivor game and throwing you under the bus and everything. Like,
no, it's okay. I'm here. I didn't go that much farther.
Andrea Bulky. I forgot how much of an adorable little chubby-cheeked kid Andrea 1.0 was.
Andrea.
Rob just gaslights her the entire season. This for sure is the start of Andrea's arc of constantly being traumatized.
Andrea.
Rob votes out her survivor boyfriend, and then Rob gets her to turn on her survivor boyfriend as soon as he comes back at the merge against her best interests. She's then strung along as the sixth and being made to feel she's super secure, only to be blindsided. Then she beats her survivor boyfriend and crushes his dreams. She then trusts Natalie in an attempt to blindside Rob, but Natalie of course tells Rob like the loyal soldier she is. Then Andrea gets voted out.
Andrea.
Again. I like Andrea more than the other members of 3 Degrees, and I'm glad she was turned 2 more seasons to be traumatized by Survivor some more. Andrea can go into cute.
Oh, Natalie and I kind of started a little spa day today. We were like clipping our leg hairs and like fixing our eyebrows.
Like, what are we doing right now? We're like building stuff and we're doing it.
Rob's making a day bed. Andrea's pretending to help. Philip is always checking on the fire constantly, like every, you know, 20, 30 minutes. But I mean, if you can make yourself be more comfortable, why not? I've worked hard all my life. You know, I was a basketball player. I was in pageants. It's not like I'm lazy. Natalie and I are just, we're hanging.
Ashley Underwood. Ashley is just a follower for most of the season. She argues with Philip and does hashtag just girly things with Nat 10 most of her run.
What happened to that? What is that?
It's me picking my skin.
Oh my god, stop.
It only looks bad right now because it's like wet.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
But that's like my habit.
She ends up being an adversary for Rob to overcome in the end and goes on an immunity streak where Rob beats her in the end in a dramatic fashion. However, at the end of the day, there's really nothing much you can say about her and she lasts the entire show's length. However, that's pathetic, you're pathetic is a fantastic line.
That's really pathetic, you look really pathetic.
But she's still in meh.
And honestly, just stop us and tell us what, you know.
Yeah, you're the pro here.
You guys know what you're doing.
Oh!
I am so glad that we have Boston Rob. He's amazing. I'm just having so much fun with him, and I feel, like, a sense of comfort.
Natalie Tenorelli.
Natalie, out of this challenge. You might as well sit down and watch.
That 10 is the definition of just sit there, smile, and look pretty. She does nothing without Rob and is basically glued to his coattails from start to finish. It's no wonder she wasn't picked for Cambodia. What was she gonna do? She's shown she can't think for herself, and even during her final tribal council performance, she just keeps looking at Rob like, is that answer okay? I feel bad for her because she's just a naive and young girl at the end of the day, but I just cannot respect her as a survivor player. She basically played the game to give the game to Rob at the end. She was the perfect complement to Rob's gameplay, an Amber Natalie White that doesn't beat him. She literally exists as an extension of Rob. She's barely even a character. Meh. Of course she's in meh.
I'm the CEO of my own software company, but are there other layers to me? Absolutely.
I'm a former federal agent. That's right, Special Agent Shepard. That was my first and middle name for years.
I'm a former federal agent. I did it for 3 separate agencies. So when I give you my word, if I say something, it's going to be my word. The other thing is I'm an expert in analyzing people's behavior. So I can determine most of the time whether or not someone's telling the truth or not. And that's what I'm going to be able to do when we finally merge and we get to the other side. And I'll be to tell you, yes, that's a friend or not. Okay?
All right, son.
And all I want to say is I've got 7 sisters and I love women, okay?
It's hilarious. Who cares?
Philip Shepherd. From the jump, Philip is absolutely insane, and that's an understatement.
It's reminding me of, you know, when somebody who don't like dogs pet a dog. You've seen that. I'm their redheaded stepchild.
No, I didn't have a collision. I had a meditation, and through the end of that meditation, I had asked for a sign, and out of thin air appeared this feather.
I said Jimmy T makes Coach look normal. Former Special Agent Philip Shepherd makes Jimmy T look normal.
If I want one, two of the crispy, okay? Just
well,
one.
That's all Rob's eating.
But I didn't have one scoop of the crispy.
We didn't have any.
Philip.
I don't see where one scoop of the crispy would When we make it, guys, we're all entitled to whatever is made, okay, in equal proportions. So if I wanted a scoop of crispy, and look, I'm not lying. I saw you guys get a scoop of the crispy. Let's not make the mountain out of a molehill. I'm standing right there.
Sure, bro.
I don't want it.
Okay.
All right. Rob.
Philip is a master of everything in his own mind, and while with Coach you may be able to meet him halfway on believing him, Philip offers absolutely nothing you can latch onto to take him seriously with. I mean, and Jimmy T wasn't running around in pink briefs with a nutsack hanging out either. I have never been more thankful for censorship in all my life. Philip is just kind of bottom tier and top tier at the same time. He can make you laugh or he can make you feel extremely uncomfortable. Him strongly implying Steve is a racist just because Steve called him crazy created the most uncomfortable moment in the entire show. I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's not my job or my place to. Just I will say, Philip is not wrong in his view of the word crazy as a microaggression towards the systematic dismissal of black Americans. But the way he went about it and the implication that Steve himself is a racist was so incredibly wrong and uncalled for, but I'm glad Philip apologized to Steve afterwards for it. I don't want to dismiss Philip's feelings. I appreciate him opening up about his experiences with racism. Just the entire incident was so, so uncomfortable, and I don't see how anyone can watch that episode without feeling icky and cringing. It might be the worst episode in the entire series. Basically, they're both right, and they're both wrong. However, aside from that, there is a lot to love about this absolutely mad lad. The man just has no filter sometimes. I think the part of his brain that goes, hey, maybe don't say that, isn't there, and he just loves to hear himself talk.
Philip, give us some insight. A situation like this, what do you do to be successful?
Well, the Bushido Code was how a samurai knew how he had to conduct his life when he was facing difficult circumstances. And they had a whole strategy about the task at hand, and they shamed their feudal lord. They would have to cut themselves. That was one of the things that they looked for. They looked for you to make the first move, and then they would strike. And the Bushido Code gave them a way to live, as the Bible for Matt has given him a way to live. And I know he knows it's all up here. And as long as he keeps that focus, he'll do just fine.
Thanks, Philip.
He blows up Francesca and Christina's game so bad for no reason, not to mention his whole speech about the lion and gorilla.
Absolutely.
The gorilla, powerful animal, won't attack anyone unless provoked. A lion, one of the few animals that no animal, whether it's starving to death, will approach. For me, that's how I feel about my family and my country. You do something to the United States, that full power is gonna come at you.
If you threaten my country, like, calm down, bro. He goes off on these tangents unprovoked, to even Jeff's bewilderment. He tells Christina, you can go from being the next one out to the fourth one out, as if that's a deal at all.
This is good enough intel that you should move from being, you know, the next one going home, but maybe the fourth.
And then he tries to strong-arm Rob into keeping Christina around. The man is out of his mind. Steve was correct. Philip is crazy. There's no denying it. The little nicknames he gives everyone in Stealth R Us Alliance is so hilarious.
It's called Stealth.
Stealth
R
Us.
And I am known as the Specialist. My principal responsibilities, infiltrate and supplant Inceptions into the former Zapatera tribe. We have here Boston Rob, the mineralist. Principal responsibilities, to develop strategies for challenges and develop strategic alliances that are impervious. Where's Grant? The destroyer of aspirations, better known as the assassin. Principal responsibilities, to go out and compete, destroying any competitor. And I forgot to mention the 3 degrees, who are highly effective, formidable, agile, and have supreme abilities to focus their mind like they did today.
The Specialist, the Mentalist, and the Assassin. Fucking amazing. Him rambling about the Bushido Code too, when the guy is on, he's really on and you really can't turn him off. And then he starts wearing a fucking feather in the middle of his headband and a loincloth over his pink undies. It's wonderful. He likes to play pretend with his little nicknames and acting like he's on this little espionage mission. It's so cute. What in the hell are even the 3 degrees? 3 degrees of what? Kevin Bacon? I don't understand how anyone can listen to him talk for more than 30 seconds and the entire time being like, yeah, that makes sense. Philip has to turn everything into this grandiose display, and everything is so serious, and so epic, and so important, but then he will randomly become this different person where he's just kind and caring. It's fucking wild. He made sure he looked as crazy as possible on Final Tribal Council, but I'm glad he burned those pink undies day 39. His entire Final Tribal Council speech was, Rob did everything. I was loyal to Rob, which probably helped seal Rob's obvious win. His Final Tribal Council performance in general was just so, so bad. This is another case of, where the hell did they find this guy but vamped to 11? I really miss Mark Burnett's casting sometimes. I still don't understand how he earned Ralph's vote. delightfully crazy for sure. He defines it. He defines the tier.
I went through everything, and it was nowhere. I look over and I see Philip's fat ass bending the chair about to break it. Why is it lopsided?
He's probably missing his screw, and I'm probably not on even ground.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, don't, because he's gonna break it. Get a screw! I look down at the hidden immunity idol clue. It's right underneath his ass. It's sitting sewn inside the fabric of the chair. I have a screw in the toolbox. How lucky was that? Had Philip not been so fat, that chair wouldn't have been bending as much, and I wouldn't have told him to move.
Boston Rob Mariano.
It's my game. I'm in charge.
This is my favorite Boston Rob. If you want to see a guy completely dominate the game, Rob 4.0 is the best person to watch for it. Jeff Probst absolutely falls in love with Rob this time around.
He's literally carrying his family on his back!
Rob seems like he's having a fun time for the first time ever in his Survivor career. Marquesas and All-Stars were miserable weather-wise. He overworked himself on Heroes vs. Villains, and this time he just gets to sit back in the dominating alliance, work his magic, and be the best Rob Boston Rob can be.
Philip has a big mouth. He likes to talk, and he can't be trusted. He's dangerous because of his stupidity. He's probably the most unaware person I've ever met in my entire life.
How he somehow managed to drag Philip along with his alliance never turning on him once is completely amazing. Rob got the perfect tribe, a bunch of people with zero strategic acumen who are easily led, and look at Rob as daddy. He has two perfect goats in Nat 10 and Philip, two allies who will never flip on him, always feed him information, but also never beat him. It's funny that him and Russell have such a dislike for each other because they play the same exact way. Rob is also just entertaining throughout the entire season.
But it really doesn't even matter what it says because I already have the idol. So, might as well just throw it away in the volcano. Bye-bye.
Don't forget to throw Scoopin' and Ted Rogers Jr. in there too. This season is where I started to really like Rob. He's just a lot of fun. Seeing somebody play Survivor on rookie/easy mode is weirdly a lot of fun. It's a dominant game where you don't see a lot of on Survivor. Rob should have been in danger after the merge, but he never really is, and even though they should be targeted Rob, it's just so funny how literally everyone on Ometepe is just willing to lay down the game for Rob. The buddy system is some of the most manipulative and diabolical shit I've ever seen on the show.
We're gonna do the buddy system. Nobody talks to anybody on their own. Don't even freaking entertain any crap with them. Guaranteed to go to the final six.
Yeah, right.
All of us.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Voted Maddie off last night, accomplished one main goal, and that was bringing the old Ometepe tribe much closer together. I have a whole vision that I'm trying to put into action here. Keep an us versus them mentality. Thus the separate shelters, the separate eating times. I want my group to hate Zapatera.
I love it. Rob runs the season like a mafioso and controls his tribe like they're loyal soldiers. He even had the idol, even though he didn't need it once. He controls his own destiny the entire time, lands his perfect final three, and wins in an almost total sweep if it wasn't for Ralph for some reason voting for File. Boston Rob is going in favorite. Redemption Island isn't as bad as everyone says it is, but it's still not good. Your enjoyment on the season depends on how much you enjoy Philip. He either makes or ruins the season for you. But I personally like Rob's winning game a lot. This cast is probably the worst we've seen so far, but it will get much worse. When Redemption Island's cast is bottom tier, it hurts. It's one of the worst. But if you made it this far, thank you so much. I appreciate you so very, 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 very much. Next time, we will be looking at Survivor South Pacific, which is an upgrade from last two seasons, thankfully. I mean, it's still nothing spectacular or anything, but, like, you know, it's not bad. Anyway, goodbye.